this week on What's Going On with L. Ingram. Joining us is Bill Conroy, a veteran investigative journalist and author of The Great Pretense, a tour throughout the boneyard of the CIA's war for drugs. Conroy has spent decades digging into government power and accountability, and today he's breaking down the role of ICE in America, how the agency operates, how it's changed, and what its actions mean for immigrants and communities across the country. Follow us on civicmedia.us or wherever you find your podcasts. And please remember to like, share, and subscribe so you never miss the conversation.
All right. Welcome back to What's Going On with Earl Ingram. It is really time. It's the right time to have this conversation. I'm so happy to present Mr. Bill Conroy. He's written a new book, The Great Pretense, a tour through the boneyard of the CIA's war for drugs. He's a veteran journalist, brings 4 decades of experience covering Latin America and the inner workings of federal agencies. He has specialized expertise in the drug trade and the operations of DHS agencies, including the ICE. With that backdrop, good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? Hello, Milwaukee.
All right. I'm really happy to have you on. You know, I see you got a little gray in your beard, so you've been around a little while. I always tell people I'm 71 years old. I've been around. I know what's going on in this nation. And when I look and see what is transpiring now with ICE, it is absolutely unconscionable. It should clearly be illegal, but we come to find that the justice system in this nation, there's been arguments for a long time that their justice is for those who can afford it. And when you look at what's taking place in Minnesota, you know, those of us who've been around a little while, we've been talking about this for a long, long time, and now it's played itself out right in broad daylight. You say what, sir, about the justice system that allows for entities like ICE to do the things that they're doing?
Yeah, well, it's a lot of calcified indifference and, basically people that are willing to do anything for a paycheck. And, there's any number of ways that ICE is messed up. First of all, they were started.
Well, let's do this. Let's for people who don't know, what is ICE?
Okay. Well, ICE basically is Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and it's part of the Department of Homeland Security. And its companion agency is Customs and Border Protection, which is Border Patrol. And you've seen both Border Patrol and ICE working in joint teams along with other federal agents. But the killings, one was done by Border Patrol, one was done by an ICE agent. And both those agencies are new. I mean, they're only 22, 23 years old. They're set up after 9/11. And they were created by abolishing two other agencies. One was U.S. Customs Service, which was set up in the late 1700s. So we abolished one agency that was, around since the founding of the country, and we're worried about, abolishing this one. I think there's no question this agency could be essentially ripped down to the studs and then take those studs and build something that actually works, but it can't stay as it is. And these problems have been festering in these agencies for a while. The Immigration and Naturalization Services, which is the original immigration agency, was racked with corruption. That's one of the reasons that they got rid of it. And same with the U.S. Customs Service. I wrote a book about that, the corruption within there. And it's kind of, there's a lot of turf wars between, especially these federal agencies. And ICE was a new agency back in 2002, 2003, and they were out to prove themselves, right? And they were basically already a culture problem because the two agencies that were combined to create them, or parts of them that were combined to create them, INS and Customs, already were racked with internal corruption. And a big problem in federal law enforcement for a while, you know, I know this country doesn't like to talk about it, I know the black community understands it, is racism. And, you know, there have been multiple lawsuits inside these agencies, Latino agents suing the agency because they were consigned to dangerous undercover assignments where they wouldn't get management experience, so they never got promoted. So these agencies are headed by good old white boy clubs. And there's really this racism that you're seeing on the streets of Minneapolis, which is the only way you can call it. You know, adjacent white people get murdered because that's the way it really works. That's like Mississippi, right? Back in the 60s when those civil rights workers got murdered by both law enforcement, sheriffs down there, and the KKK. So this blurring of the line between law enforcement and street thugs, essentially, has been with us a while. And they kind of pop back and forth. When are they, you know, criminal, and when are they law enforcement? You know, is it just like, you know, it's all the same thing when you're acting like this. So you put a paramilitary force on the streets of an urban, dense urban environment, and they're used to beating heads and shooting people on the border because they're out in the middle of nowhere. There's no accountability. No one's going to see it. I covered stories of, you know, immigrants so scared. I talking to them, they said that the part of the party, that one of the people in the party they were with, was shot and kicked in the river. And I heard those stories all the time down on the border, and you couldn't get any proof because the witnesses were too scared to come forward. The body's long gone, and the agency, you know, isn't interested in policing itself.
You know. Go ahead.
Yeah, so there's so much more accountability needs to be made. And you know, you have a lot of civilian accountability boards at the local level with law enforcement. You don't have anything like that with the federal law enforcement. I mean, where are they held accountable to the citizens? I mean, and that's why it's not working. That's why it's broke. And that's what, unfortunately, Trump, you know, and his, you know, Stephen Miller and those guys, they know this, and they're completely exploiting it.
You know, I have to give you big respect for having the courage to tell the truth. You know, as a black man in America who, again, is 71 years of age, I have witnessed in this brutality that we see. It's something that has happened in the black community for a long, long time. And even though, you know, there weren't, well, there are very few videos of them. Rodney King clearly is one that stood out more than anything else. And then George Floyd. But prior to that, for decades, blacks have been talking
I remember marching for the Ernest Lacey when he got murdered.
Absolutely.
That far back.
And
further than that.
And so we have been making a clarion call about this for half a century and yet totally ignored in this country. And you have just stated in the last 10 minutes the total truth about what's transpiring and what's taking place. Yet, in the face of that, that can still be ignored. And so what is being said is, okay, this is not something that at the root of it, you talked about the good old boy network. It's clearly what you see. If you look at the ICE agents, you know, I haven't seen in the photos that I've seen, I'll bet you the percentage of people of color who are a part of that is probably less than 1 or 2%. And
yeah,
go ahead.
That's reflective of the agencies too. They're hiring. But the other thing is a lot of Latinos in the valley on the border, like in Texas. I lived there for 20 years. And that's changing now. But you know, that's the only job offer. That you know, they go to work for Border Patrol if they're got some other skills, maybe ICE. But and now they've not only they got a flood of people coming in because they just want jobs, not necessarily because they want to be in law enforcement, but now they lowered the training from 5 months to 47 days, and they're basically taking people off of bar schools, right? I mean, for that, and giving them, they're making a really good money plus their bonus and benefits, and it's bad. It does have to get interrupted because that agency is going to just get more and more thuggish with that kind of payroll on it, with $75 billion to spend on that kind of crap, and the prison system that supports it. They want to put people in, I'd swear if I could, but in warehouses, industrial warehouses, where they keep cargo shipments in industrial warehouses. Now they want to put people in there in cages while they're holding them there. This is like way beyond anything we've seen in my lifetime.
So your book is called The Great Pretense, A Tour Through the Boneyard of the CIA's War for Drugs. The CIA and this war on drugs, these other entities that you talk about, many of them were spurned through the CIA's war on drugs, which meant basically going back to, I think it was under George Bush Sr., that the war on drugs came to be. Maybe it was a little bit earlier than that.
It was Nixon.
Okay.
In 1971.
And so what that did was opened up Pandora's box that you could go into third world nations. You can go into Mexico and you could basically do covert actions in those countries that the American people knew nothing about. And even kill and murder, and then the death penalty was brought into existence. I think that was under George Bush Sr., where, if you were considered a kingpin, and then you could be put to death, and they put some people to death that they captured in Mexico and other places. So you could kind of see that kind of paramilitary action that was taking place across the border. They just brought that into the nation.
You're not wrong. And when I covered the drug war mostly along the border, spent some time in Juarez. That's where the other book I got out is Dispatches from the House of Death. And it's about a ICE informant that was involved in mass murder in Juarez while working for ICE, while getting paid for ICE. And ICE knew all about it and kept him, going back to this house, help supervise or participate in murders, all to make a case, a drug case against a bigger player or, a kingpin, as you say. And I make two points on that because you make very valid points about the drug war. First, the kingpin strategy, which, is taking out the Chapo Guzmans or the Almayos, the heads of the Sinaloa cartel, the Juarez cartel, Pacific cartel, all the major cartels, all the kingpins that were removed. And what happened? They just sold more drugs.
Yes.
For every cartel kingpin you took out, you got three more cartels, and so it doesn't, you don't win this drug war. This drug war was never set up to be won. It was set up to keep a lot of money going because there's a lot of money to be made in selling guns. A lot of the guns used by the cartels are U.S. guns.
No question.
And there's a lot of money to be made, laundering money. I mean, the real cartels are not the people you necessarily think of, the distribution end, which is, and that is violent, no doubt. But, all this money has to be laundered and invested somewhere, and some people have to touch that, right? So that's all dirty money that somebody's making money off of. Our own president, Donald Trump, who, just took out the head of Venezuela because he claimed he was a narco trafficker, right? The same kind of law you're talking about, which is a whole other matter. You know, the CIA was involved in that and has been for years trying to, oust the regime in Venezuela. And, you know, leaving that on the side, the point I was trying to make, so they took out Maduro in Venezuela. At the same time, Trump owned land in a major drug transit country, the Dominican Republic, where a lot of Chavistas from Venezuela, the same people he's after, had investments in one, a large polo club, a banker from Venezuela who was close to the Maduro regime. And Trump ended up, you know, per my own research and a story in the Miami Herald, selling some of his property in the Dominican Republic to somebody in the Maduro regime. This is before, you know, this is a number of years back. But how do you, you know, who's making money off the drug war in that deal, right? You know, so it's you know, assuming that, you know, that it's true that the entire regime in Venezuela is a narco traffic, and it's really not. Most of the drug at that level, the cartel, the organized crime, it's kind of seeded into the institutions because of the way they operate, right? So it's certain players in key positions that, or people that are too afraid to act because, you know, and you see some of that thuggish gangster behavior right here in our own country right now, with our own president threatening governors and heads of cities, you know, extorting them with ICE, saying we're going to continue beating your people up until you give me what I want. That's cartel behavior.
You know, Bill, the open racism and bigotry that we see taking place in this nation, you know, the nation always had that proclivity, but at least they tried to keep it under wraps. You know, with what's taking place right now with ICE, it is there for the whole world to see. You know, I mean, I do think that what has spurned this outrage more than anything else is, you know, these were two white people that they murdered.
No, I think you're right, Earl. But I think the politics of this country are complex, and as you probably know, we're at a tipping point where roughly they said 2050, but it might be sooner because it depends on population.
Yeah,
growth.
Yeah.
And this is why they have this
project. Why is going to become a minority?
Well, everyone will be a minority.
Yes.
There'll be no majority group. And the
well, that's a big deal to some people.
That's motivating people like Stephen Miller and all these nativists, these fringe groups that are now running our country to, you know, embark on this white supremacist project to remove as many people of color as they can to, you know, ensure that they stay in power. You know, you're absolutely right. That's a motivating factor.
It's tribalism. It's clearly tribalism. But before we get so far down that road,
it's sad. It's going to rip the country apart.
So before we get so far down that road, when you see what is taking place in Minneapolis, and kudos to the people in Minneapolis who have shown this isn't the first time their mettle. You know, going back to what happened with, and I forgot the guy's name, Ned Quick, who was killed by the police officer in Minneapolis, George Floyd.
Oh, George Floyd.
To that point in time, those people in Minneapolis have character. And I'm not saying everybody doesn't, but there's something special about them because they're willing to stand up against injustice. And so what you see is, you know, 10,000. I mean, that's a tremendous amount of people, and 5,000 and 3,000. And yet these people keep marching and challenging in 20 to 30 below zero weather. You know, they are challenging injustice. And the more, how is it possible, Bill, that there's only 600 law enforcement officers in Minneapolis, but over 3,000 ICE agents. I mean, come on.
Yeah, no, and I lived in the Twin Cities for about 3 years back in the early 90s. And, yeah, Minneapolis and St. Paul, you know, together have 1,200 cops maybe. And they're not huge cities. They're like now, I guess, 450,000 for Minneapolis. Most of it's suburbs.
Right.
And it's very, like Milwaukee, it's very neighborhood-based. And these people are protecting their neighborhoods. They're protecting the kids. Everyone in the neighborhoods knows everyone. And that was my experience there. By the time I left there, I knew everyone on the block, you know, and so there are a lot of small, tight-knit neighborhoods. And, you know, ICE is rolling through and, you know, throwing tear gas and, you know, beating heads and killing people. They're gonna coalesce. And you're right. They are strong. They are hardy. It does get cold. But it gets cold in Wisconsin. You know, I think what's surprised, you know, they're on a time frame, this blitzkrieg takeover of the country. One of the markers is the midterms, and they're trying to get as much done before the midterms to inhibit that vote as they can, because they want to stay in power, no doubt. And you know, the fact that many people are showing up in a mid-sized city like Minneapolis, it has to give them pause, and it is giving them pause. Like, we can't just roll this out in another city, because what happens if we end up having the same result there? Eventually, people power will overcome state power. You know, it's just enough people have to stand up, and it's scary. But and people, there are losses. We know that from the civil rights movement. There will be losses. There have been losses.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Mr. Bill Conroy. He's written a book, The Great Pretenders, a tour through the boneyard of the CIA's war for drugs. You know, sir, when you look at, you know, television and what we see with our own eyes, military people in masks, pulling guns on average citizens, you know, people who are no threat, women, for heaven's sakes, brutalizing women, slamming them to the ground, you know, bringing elderly men out in sub-zero temperature with their sandals on and didn't give them time to put any clothes. I mean, this is just brutish. And so you're watching this and you're wondering why all Americans aren't outraged. And even though there's a small segment of the population who, do it again. So you throw down an elderly man, there's six predators on that man, dropping knees in their backs. I mean, this has to come to an end.
Yeah, well, there is outrage over it, but you're right. There's I think it's more like 25% of the country, but polling shows it's about 60. It's getting wider, the margin of people that are basically want ICE out. But 60% of the country supports that position of abolishing ICE, right? So it's growing, and the Trump has lost the immigration argument, and that was his strongest argument. Strongest lie coming into office. So there are victories, but what's it's hard to see them when there's so much, like you said, thuggish, brutish, behavior that's resulting in so much harm. Not only to Minneapolis, to Chicago. I mean, people forget, you're right. They talk about the two white folks that were murdered, but there was an immigrant murder too that was killed. And we don't know what's happening inside these detention centers. There's record deaths inside those detention centers this year. That much we know. So this is right up there with any of the human crimes against
humanity,
against human rights that you would see anywhere in the Balkan Wars, any of these countries that oppressed and repressed their population. administration. We're right there with them. How are we any different when we let this stuff happen? I think there's, and you know this, there's always people that will stand up. I'm surprised there's been so many in Minneapolis. I really am. That's uplifting to me.
Well, you
only need 3.5% of the population, 3.5-4% of the population out on the streets to take down a government non-violently. If all these other factors line up, so it's growing toward that, and that's why they're feeling the heat. Feeling the heat.
It's just not here in this country, but the whole world is watching and saying, how dare, in these other nations, how dare the United States fix its mouth to talk about oppression in other nations. You know, what we're seeing with our own eyes, Bill, is what we used to condemn other nations for. And here it is in front of the whole world. The whole world sees it. We know when it started taking place. We know who created this environment. We know how this came to pass. We know who created it. And yet, you know, it's like we can't stop it. I mean, for heaven's sakes, the one of the courts just kind of said it was okay for them to keep doing this.
They refused to grant an injunction to stop it temporarily, but they're still looking at it. But yeah, you're right.
What do they need to see? What are we still looking? What do they need to see?
I don't know what their reasoning was because I didn't read it, but the courts have no army, so he's violated. I've heard some estimates 1,000 court orders, so they can issue any order they want. They'll just ignore it, especially at the lower court levels, and then they'll just appeal and ignore the order, even though they're not supposed to, right? And they can't. There's nothing to enforce it because Trump controls the DOJ, which is and the Department of Homeland Security, which are the enforcement arms for the courts. And we can get into what happens in other countries.
He also controls the military. He also controls the military with Pete Hegseth.
He does, but that was what I was going to get at. When countries start coming apart at the seams, the military is a wild card. It always is, whatever side. And the military often ruptures, it fractures itself with generals going one way or the other. So we don't want it to get to that point because then we're looking at a bad situation. But the military right now hasn't been given an order to go in and shoot American citizens, right? Like he's given ICE.
Not yet.
I don't know where, living in San Antonio among the military is a lot of, working class folks, and they got kids and family. So we'll see what happens when he tries to push it. The only reason he hasn't declared the Insurrection Act is because I don't think he believes yet that Hegseth has control of the military, the Pentagon. He has control of the brass. He just because of the way our laws are, but when you start getting further down the ranks, who's going to break away and who's not, and when do you drop that order? You better make sure everybody's on your side. You're going to be run out of the office.
So,
right?
Bill, does this get worse before it gets better?
Possibly, yeah, probably a little worse. I think the midterms matter a lot, only in that even if people have given up on the Congress, it's at least a break. And the Democrats, really right now have to get organized around their message. And that's always hard for the Democrats because they're a coalition party. They're, ranging from center to left. And, that's the biggest danger, that we are our own worst enemies. So we gotta take care of that first. And we got to have confidence in what we're doing, that this country has survived 250 years because of the contributions of everyone here. My Irish immigrants came here right off the boat, were put in the Civil War, right? We all have stories. The Black Americans have been here longer than anyone other than the Native Americans. They've been here since the 1600s. If anyone's more American than African Americans than Stephen Miller, for sure, who's an immigrant from an immigrant family himself. So this is the lie we tell ourselves, that there are homegrown Americans. That's a lie. There are everyone's from somewhere else except for the indigenous folks, and you know, that's the history of this country, and we're all here for different reasons. Some by force, some by no choice, and some because they had, you know, a silver spoon in their mouth and wanted to own and conquer lands, you know, and that's America.
You know,
and we've been fighting a conqueror ever since this country opened, you know, for different reasons, whether, you know, whatever immigrant group it was that was stepped on and spit on, and had to rise up.
Hey, Bill, I have to say to you,
some rights.
You are a very courageous journalist, a courageous man who clearly has the kahunas to speak the truth. And, you know, not a whole lot like you. I mean, look, for heaven's sakes, they arrested Don Lemon.
Yeah.
For being a reporter, that's all he did, and yet they came after him, and you wonder when this stuff will end, right?
Well, it's always been going on. They've come after me for my reporting on ICE. Not I didn't get arrested, but they did shake me down at my house and in my office, and
really,
and another time they threatened to take my computer for a story I was working on. They filed motions in court to seize computers, and that would have been mine. So they do try. If you it's the old saying, like, you know, they're gonna, if you pick on them, they're gonna you know, do something back to you, right? If you start investigating them, they're gonna use all their power, because it's people in these institutions that have this control of this power, you know, by leave of the people, the way the country's supposed to work. But because of their self-interest and their greed and their lust for power, they've co-opted and taken the people's power and are using it against the people, and you know, that's got to be reversed. And I believe it will be. It has been in our history so far.
Well, but they have
you
control.
You asked if it's going to get worse. Yeah, probably. But I think in the end, you know, many small victories. That's, you know, big victories are composed of many small.
Okay, so they have control over the Justice Department. And when you have control over the Justice Department and even a great percentage of the United States Supreme Court, those things don't turn around in a, you know, midterm election.
No.
And so we are facing this for, you know, at least another 2 to 3 years, which is almost implausible to think where this thing can be 2 to 3 years from now.
Unless he's impeached, and well, that would take really wide margins in the midterms, like you.
Well, that's wishful thinking. We've been down that road.
Yeah, and or enough Republicans coming over. But you're right. We have seen him have a lockhold on the MAGA Republicans for various reasons. I'm sure, like but all out of human weakness. And you know, that at the end of the day, you know, if you look too far down the road, you can't control that. And you can't control what's happened in the past. All we got is what's right in front of us. And we got to believe that moving, you know, it's not the easiest path, but we just got to keep moving forward. You know, it's the only path that leads forward.
You know, I will tell you, I'm going to read the book. I don't say that much, especially over the airways. But The Great Pretense, A Tour Through the Boneyard of the CIA's War for Drugs. And one of the reasons that I'm going to read the book is because, again, you know, that's my lifespan, the war on drugs, you know, and when it came into vogue and all the different things that have happened under the guise of, you know, what we're going to do to protect the American people. And so you can't say what they're saying, we're protecting the American people, when they're brutalizing the American people. I mean, come on. you know.
I agree. And as you said when opening the show, there is a long history of that being deployed against the black community. You know, I don't care what race you're from. If you can't see that, you're a racist.
Well, no, listen, you know, I will tell you, right now, the attack is clearly on Hispanic, dark-skinned people. Yeah. And, I mean, to take babies. Yeah, I mean, come on. They condemn Ukraine and, Russia and what they are doing. And sometimes, as Americans, we are blinded because we don't see our own misdeeds. And we don't want to see it. But make no mistake, what is happening right now is a misdeed to have American citizens to be, I mean, just try to, this to me is almost inconceivable and unbelievable that when I was a young boy back in the 60s and Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated. And I lived in the city of Milwaukee, and I lived in an area where, you know, they were burning, the cities were burning after the assassination of Dr. King. And I remember the National Guard coming into the community where I lived, and the tanks rolling down the streets, and the armed National Guard men standing up where you had the curfews and those kind of things. I remember those things, but this is even worse.
Yeah, this is on steroids. And in fact, I'd argue some of those ICE and Border Patrol on the streets are on steroids. That is an issue within law enforcement. There's no way to fix ICE. Short of
they have to be regulated.
Finally, passing something in Congress that is creates some pathways to fix this immigration system, so it's not built on force, brute force, and murder, and demonization, and it's actually built on the reality of what this country has been for centuries. And we go through these swings. We've gone through these anti-immigrant, xenophobic political swings in our past, and we're in one. Now they end, and there always is a lot of damage, and there's also often and usually some progress in terms of getting some rights enshrined. But as we see, none of that matters if they can just ignore our rights, right? They can ignore our First and Fourth and even our Second Amendment rights. That's when we got to stand up, because that's how the Bill of Rights came about. The Bill of Rights didn't do that first. That was done because, you know, there was a mass demand to have those rights enshrined in our Constitution, because we knew the abuses of the king at the time, and we didn't want to, you know, live like that, and we don't want to live like it now. It's clear. So, you know, if you're not willing to protect your own rights, you know, then maybe you deserve what you get.
You know, Bill, I want to thank you, man. I wish we had more time, but I'll come back to you if it's okay with you.
This subject, you know, it's huge. Trying to get your arms around it is, you know, the only way I figure it out is you got to just pick a path through it and, you know, where your strengths are, and just use those strengths to move forward.
Well, I want to thank you, man, and keep up the good work. Again, the book is The Great Pretense, a tour through the boneyard of the CIA's war for drugs. Where can people get that book?
You can pre-order it on Amazon.com right now. And, it's comes out February 19th. It'll be available there, but also through the publisher, Trinde, and various other places. But probably the easiest is Amazon.
Look, Bill, I'll be reaching back out to you soon, because this is not going away anytime soon.
No. All right.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
All right, you'd be good.
All right, that's a wrap.
Good trouble, I guess.
Yes, sir. All right, that's a wrap.
All right.
See you later.
All right, take care.